standards as it currently applies to the lighting. And then let me just conclude on the negative side. This is going to add traffic. The DOT seems to minimize the impact, but Route 9, as many of you know, going in the easterly direction feeds into the infamous Five Points. And if anything, this will just add more traffic to an already busy corridor. But given the choices on the assumption that the rezoning is going to take place, I think of all the options on the table, I would prefer to have Ferguson as a neighbor as opposed to some other options. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak in favor? Seeing none, is there any...
Opposition next, right? Opposition is next.
Yes. Is there anyone in opposition? Is there anyone in opposition? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter. If council desires, we can close the public record.
We'll close public hearing. Is it okay with council? Close public record. And I ask Mr. Moore to read a short title.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to amend a comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a C5 service limited manufacturing district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 5.306 acres more or less for the reasons given by planning zoning numbered 1 through 8.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlett. Second, Mr. Burton. To approve change zone 1854 for the reasons stated by planning and zoning in their public hearing. Any questions? We'll take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
Based on the planning and zoning's recommendation, public testimony, and not to mention that Ferguson perhaps could be a role model for all others, I think that was impressive. I will certainly vote in favor and vote yes.
Mr. Burton.
I will vote in favor of Planning and Zoning's recommendation and the testimony here today.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote in favor of
Cole.
I vote yes for the same reasons as the other members.
I also agree with the Planning and Zoning's recommendations, and I'll vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you, sir.
Congrats. There you go.
Congrats. Now then, Ms. Cornwell, you're back up again. Sure. Quick change ours.
So good afternoon. So we're proposing the discussion and potential introduction of an ordinance. As we've gone through the new commercial districts, as you just have approved two new applications regarding for the new districts, we've gone through the C4 plant commercial planned district, and we've had, we need to tweak it a little bit. We found some inconsistencies, and we also recognize that we want to address a few things that we've heard. We've heard from a number of engineers and developers that they would like to use it. However, because especially it allows for the mix of uses, but the mix of use percentage is a little too low for what they're looking to do. So what we would like to do is make some minor changes to address some of those concerns we've had and to get rid of some of the inconsistencies. The main inconsistency is the way we look at land area versus lot size. Typically it says lot size, so you can have one parcel and the minimum lot size is 3 acres in this district. However, the intent was lot area, so you could have multiple parcels that total a minimum of 3 acres to go through and ask for the change of zone. So there's a little inconsistency there. So we're looking to amend that. And then also to amend the maximum of development areas for duplexes, townhouses, and multifamily. Right now it says it's 20%, and we would like to increase it to at least 40%. That's what we've been hearing, is a lot of people want to take advantage of that. However, the 20% at multifamily, well, then the 80% would be commercial, is a little too low for the mixed development that it was intending. So we're proposing at least 40% mixed use, which is the multifamily, the duplexes, and the townhouses, to allow then 60% commercial. And I think there might be another tweak in there that we're trying to recognize to clean up some consistencies throughout the development. And I think we actually recognize a minimum lot size. It's like we allow for the residential, for the townhouses and the duplexes, but we did not recognize a minimum lot size for the townhouses and duplexes. So we're proposing a minimum lot size for those units as well, and referencing that the townhouses would then fall back to the supplementary regulations for minimum lot size and other code requirements.
Okay. What would be the minimum lot size on a town?
Well, the minimum lot size for a townhouse can go down to 1,600 square feet, depending on how
it is.
For the lot? Our minimum lot size here for the duplexes would be 7,500 square feet. To get down to the minimum lot size for the townhouses, you have to meet a number of other criteria in the supplementary regs that currently exist in code. If it's going to be fee simple.
I heard all your syllables. I didn't know what you just said.
The code currently allows a smaller lot for townhouses for a footprint.
Only if it's fee simple. See, that's where
if it's fee simple.
Yeah, I had to think about that myself. Townhouses are usually a condominium type of ownership.
Typically. Every once in a while we do get some fee simples.
Right. So it's in the rare situation that somebody might want to do a fee simple townhouse, we go 16.
You can go down to a much smaller percentage.
Well, it sounds smaller, like it, size.
But what we're proposing for...
But they're still combined in one area.
Yes.
Still touching each other.
They're still... Yeah.
Oh, yes.
But each one would be 1,600.
Correct.
And is there a minimum number of them?
In a row, yes. The code allows for no more than eight.
But could you have one?
Well, that would be a single-family house.
That's not a town.
Would you have two?
That would be a duplex.
Or villa.
But could they be 1,600 square feet?
So the lot that the townhouse would sit on, your front yard, backyard, and if it was an end unit, your side yard would be that small. And then for a middle unit, you'd more or less have, you'd own your house and then your front yard and backyard. But typically what we do see are condominiums where they own their unit and the ground that they sit upon is common open space. But there are a few out there that they do own the land and the unit.
They also have detached multifamily. We support that.
Yes.
So a detached multifamily would be like a townhouse on 1,600 square feet? But then I guess if they put...
No, only townhouses can go that small.
Right, but if it's a detached...
No, it has to meet the definition of a townhouse. So
don't we have detached multifamily townhouse projects and stuff? I mean, don't we have...
No, if it's detached, it is a single-family house. If it is one standalone...
Okay, multifamily detached. We have...
If it's multifamily, it is automatically attached.
Well, how about Sunset Village? Sunset, which is down on Cedar Neck, which is a bunch of detached townhouses.
It's multifamily. They're not townhouses. Townhouses is one building with multiple units within that building.
Okay, multifamily doesn't have to be.
Multifamily can be a combination of single-family duplexes, apartments, condominiums, townhouses.
Okay.
It's all based on if it's a condominium, you can have single-family as part of the multifamily.
All
because
right.
They would be multiple units on one parcel of land.
All right. Can't win.
She got you, George.
These bureaucrats, it's all double talk. No.
It's correct that this is just for introduction today, and then there'll be the public hearing. And the
public hearing will be scheduled at a later date.
One last question.
Mr. Cole.
Yeah, one last question. Now, you said this is in response to all these whiny developers. Now, do you, the staff, do you see inconsistencies? Did you see problems? Or was it brought to our attention, all these issues about the percentages, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? And is it in the best interest of good planning and good development what these tweaks are? But it sounded like it was just the outside telling us that these are the problems, and we go, okay, and we draw up a whole new ordinance for it.
The inconsistencies we need to address. The fact the way we refer to lot area and lot size in the same we want to address. Looking at the percentage, you know, I have no problem. It makes a little bit more sense to me to recognize, to have a better mix of residential and commercial units on a property. And then the others were just in referencing to recognize that if we're allowing for residential units, how do we then allow for them regarding minimum lot size and the types of dwellings and types of residential units permitted?
So all their suggestions are improvements to what you all drew up originally. Are they improvements?
Yes.
Are we making progress, right?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
That was an odd yes from the attorney.
Okay. Well, he drew up the original.
I'm just saying.
And then we got all these other attorneys, and it's not.
Any more questions of counsel?
That's what you call progress, George.
I don't know. I'm getting fed up with attorneys.
Okay. If not, we'll ask Mr. Moore or somebody read the short title and see who wants to introduce it, if anybody does.
An ordinance to amend the Code of Sussex County, Chapter 115, Article XI. D, sections 115-83.26, 115-83.27, 115-83.31, and 115 Attachment 4, Sussex County, Table 4, Roman numerals.
I introduce it.
Mr. Arlett introduces it.
Thank you very much.
Mr. President, when we get this here, we'll be having a hearing, all right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Could we have what maybe a drawing of what would it look like under our original scenario and with these changes, just show us a project to give it so we can visually compare it.
We could do that.
Is that possible? Because otherwise, all this stuff is just like, again, it's until I see one, I don't know if it's, you know, better or worse or if it's whatever.
We can do that.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, ma'am. Next, we're going to move Mr. Lawson under Cabinet Report. And before you start that, I made a mistake, which I made many about. I was going to apologize to Councilman Burton because the two hearings we had were in his district, and I did not allow him to vote first.
Well, you did a mistake.
I should be corrected, but I was wrong.
You made a mistake. Should we retract all the votes?
No, we're done now, but we'll do our best not to let it happen again.
Wait, the BB health care? It's my district. You owe an apology.
That's in Georgia.
Yeah, you owe an apology to each of us.
Oh, one to Georgia, one to IG.
Yeah,
I'm not apologizing.
You've been standing and corrected twice now.
I am.
In less than a minute.
Yeah, well, I'm on record now. That's good. Mr. Lawson.
A few items today, this afternoon. First item is probably the easiest item on today's agenda. Hopefully, it's just a review of the upcoming schedule that we have for the remaining 2018 calendar year. I thought it was worth putting it on the agenda today to discuss the workload that we have in front of us and also go through some of the preliminary items that we have scheduled. At your desk, I printed off a copy. This was in the packet and was emailed to you individually. But there's a copy that says updated September 11th. There has been some changes since this was circulated last week. Really, the intent here is just to give you an idea of the workload that we have in front of us and to also announce some of the scheduled meetings that we are going to have in the weeks to come. Amanda, will you scroll down to September, please? So I have the calendar that I shared with you all up on the screen that shows the next 4 months, including September, and the scheduled workload. This is September that we're working off of now, and I'll just highlight what this calendar is showing you. Apologize for the rudimentary way that this looks, but it's the only way we can keep track of some of the things that we've got going on. Today is obviously September 11th. We've highlighted the public hearings that we have scheduled today. We heard the ordinance on the 40-foot buffer. The AM/PM and the number next to it signals the other public hearings that we have scheduled for that day. So in the AM, we had one public hearing. In the PM, we had two. If you slide over on this week of September to the 13th, you'll see the number 13 is highlighted in yellow. Any Thursday highlighted in yellow indicates a date that the planning and zoning is scheduled to meet. And then if there is a item of interest that we have on those dates, I've highlighted it here. For instance, this coming Thursday, Planning and Zoning will hear the density calculation, or will hold the density calculation hearing. That's the second ordinance that has been introduced related to land use, and that will be heard by Planning and Zoning on that evening. Fast forward to a week from now, on the 18th, as you can see, there's a zero next to PM. That means there's no public hearings in the afternoon. However, we are scheduling a buffer workshop for that date. I've invited the Planning and Zoning Commission to join the council that afternoon, and we will hold a workshop to discuss the to-be-drafted ordinance related to title and non-title buffers requirements here with the county. Hopefully the mission there is to sit down and discuss those topics and get some feedback and direction. This, again, is one of the initiatives Mr. Burton has asked for to address.
And that would be the West Complex?
Yes.
Yes, sir. I think I have the West Complex reserved, and I think that's the best venue for that, because that will be a workshop setting where we're sitting down and going through some of these topics.
Todd, this is different. That is different than the ordinance we discussed earlier today, or is it the same?
No, it is different. This one hasn't been drafted yet. This is to go over the non-title and title buffer requirements in county code and discuss options there if there is an intent to change those requirements. That forum is to discuss that intent. Kind of as a follow-up to the meeting we had where Mr. Basin with the Center for Inland Bays, Mr. McCulley, and Mr. Lene made presentations regarding our buffer requirements.
Mm-hmm. But we are planning a workshop. That
is correct, on the 18th, so a week from today.
Is there a reason why we didn't end up doing a workshop based on the ordinance that we discussed today?
I think if
I mean, if we're doing one for one, how come we chose not to do one for another?
I can take that. That one is much more complicated, right? That one is there's a lot of different wetlands a lot in this county. The one that we spoke of today was a subdivision, just buffer from 20 to 40.
Got it.
Right. So, but that right there is going to be involved in the wetlands, the freshwater ponds, the saltwater ponds, the titles, the non-titles, and that's going to need some help in defining what we are looking at to possibly change.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Burton. Highlight the 20th of next week, September 20th. The 20th or 21st is when the state has signaled to us that they will have their comments on the comp plan and through the PLUS review, and those comments will be back to the county. That's when we anticipate those, and that will start our attention back onto the comp plan. You will see that will also dictate the amount of work we have in front of us related to the responses to the state's comments on our comp plan draft. I've scheduled on the 25th of September on the agenda to review the comments that we received from the state. That'll be an opportunity for this body to have a presentation by Janelle, Mr. Robertson, and to go over the comments, and that'll be our first opportunity just to see them, talk about them, not at length, because I think you're going to need some time to digest them, and we have a future meeting scheduled where we actually react to the comments. In other words, react by meaning, do we accept, do we want to make a change, or do we reject the comment that the state may have offered? Okay, October. This calendar shows October. We are scheduled to meet on the 2nd, the 9th, the 23rd, and the 30th of October. You can see here on the 9th the density calculation ordinance. That's the second ordinance that we're talking about. That is the date that the county council will have their public hearing on that second ordinance. Again, that's the one the Planning and Zoning hears this coming Thursday. And then on the 10th, if we need to, which we will find out once we see all the comments back from the state, if we need to hold a comp plan workshop on the 10th, we have that date circled. That'll be a decision that I announce and make with council's input at a future Tuesday date. We do have that circled. On the 16th, while this is important, we are scheduled to be off on the 16th. However, if you choose to hold a meeting that day because of our need to get through additional workload, we can hold a meeting on the 16th. That could also be an opportunity where we have the workshop on the comp plan comments if our comments that we get back from the state are so lengthy that we need more time, then perhaps we could meet on the 16th. I think those decisions will probably be made late September once we see the comp plan comments. And then probably most importantly, in October on the 23rd, that will be the comp plan public hearing right here in this building, in this chambers, where we will have the public hearing for the final of the comp plan. And we have to have a public hearing by state law to approve this council to approve the final draft of the comp plan, submit that back to the state.
Will it be an afternoon public hearing, or will it be in the morning? Or is that all on the agenda?
Based on today's...
We picked that day because we had no public hearings otherwise. So I would submit to you we'd probably want to...
10 o'clock.
We already advertised that. We haven't advertised it yet.
10:30?
We have to make that decision about 21 days out. So by the late September, we'll make that decision. We could probably have an 11 o'clock public hearing and start the process then, thinking that this will probably take a little bit of time, perhaps. And that's the thought process there. So I have a regular meeting with a public hearing scheduled in within that day. Now, if we get to the point where an ordinance related to the non-title-title buffers is written and ready for introduction, the date that we've selected for the Planning and Zoning Commission to hear that ordinance is October 25th. So you can see that highlighted in green. This is just the nature of scheduling. We've got to circle dates and pick this ahead of time to try to get all this folded out for the rest of the year. And then back down to the last date in October the 30th. If you do not vote on the comp plan on the 23rd, we will schedule that under old business on the 30th and then anticipate the final vote on the 30th. We have to vote on the comp plan based on the schedule the state has created for the cabinet committee to review and endorse and send this to the state, to the governor, excuse me, for final sign-off. We have to have that done by the end of October, so that's why we have somewhat of an aggressive schedule. Okay, last month, next month, November, fairly straightforward. Historically, we're always off on Election Day. That's the 6th. We do have 5 public hearings on the 13th. Then we're off on the 20th for Thanksgiving. And then at the end of the month, the to-be-written wetlands buffer, the date we've circled is November 27th, to consider that ordinance. Given how today went, we may be very careful in how we formulate that agenda. To be conscientious of our time constraints.
Didn't you forget another holiday in there, Todd? November the 8th, return day?
Yes. Doesn't affect this body, but the county is closed that day. County government, yes. Okay, and then December. Nothing of note. We are scheduled to meet the 4th and the 11th of December. I guess of note, December 11th would be the last day for Mr. Cole and Mr. Arlette as council people on this body. Big day for celebration. Recognizing all those years of service for Mr. Cole and Mr. Arlette. Okay, any questions about the agenda as we have sketched this out for the remaining 4 months?
The name of Mildred King.
George Cole luncheon.
I'm recommending that.
No questions here, Mr. Chairman? Okay.
So far, we're good.
Some of this will be decided week to week and with your feedback, but I did want to show you what we have in front of us to get through some of what is left. The other thing that you should be aware of, staff is trying to, both at the Planning and Zoning Commission and the council level, we are trying to not have any overlap in votes, because we're going to lose 2 members of council here, and perhaps there may be a change in membership at the Planning and Zoning Commission level. So we'd like to not have much overlap in pending applications. It's not fair to the applicant. So we're attempting to do the best we can. Without any other questions, I will move on to the next item, which is the Board of Adjustment appointment. I was asked to put this agenda item on today by Mr. Wilson. Mr. Wilson's appointment in District 2, Mr. Brent Workman, is up for appointment, and I believe it's Mr. Wilson's intent that he would like to reappoint Mr. Workman.
Yes, sir.
Okay. If that is the intent, I have a motion for your consideration.
Please read your motion.
Be it moved that Sussex County Council approves the appointment of Mr. Brent Workman to the Sussex County Board of Adjustment effective immediately until such time as his term expires in June 2021.
Motion, Mr. Wilson.
Make a motion for appoint Mr. Workman.
Second.
Second, Mr. Cole. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett.
Based on Councilman Wilson's recommendation, I will vote yes.
Mr. Burton.
I will vote yes.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. County Administrator's Report for September 11, 2018. Item number one, the Advisory Committee on Aging and Adults with Physical Disabilities for Sussex County will meet September 17th at 10 a.m. at the Sussex County Administrative Office's West Complex located at 22215 North DuPont Boulevard in Georgetown. Robert Fitzgerald, Supervisor of the Georgetown Office of Catholic Charities, will be speaking on Delaware's Low-Income Home Energy Assistance Program. Conference Planning Subcommittee will also meet at 11:30 to discuss planning for the conference, which is scheduled May 9, 2019. A copy of the agenda for each meeting is attached. Item number two, a referendum for the Ellendale Water District will be held this Saturday, September 15th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Philadelphia Pentecostal Holiness Church in Ellendale. Item two, the Delaware State Police year-to-date activity report for August 2018 is attached, listing the number of violent crime and property crime arrests, as well as total traffic charges and corresponding arrests. In addition, DUI and total vehicle crashes investigated are listed. In total, there were 195 troopers assigned to Sussex County for the month of August. Item three, per the attached Engineering Department fact sheets, the estuary, pump station, and Force Main and Seagrove, known as Hart Tun, PS and FM Phase 1B, received substantial completion effective August 20th and 21st, respectively. And item number five, the Sussex County Council will host a joint workshop with the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission on Tuesday, September 18, 2018, at 1:30 p.m. at the Sussex County Administrative Office's West Complex. The workshop will focus on matters related to the county's requirements for title and non-title buffers. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Jennings. Quarterly pensions for you.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. So I'm going to give you a quarterly pension update. There's just two items that I'm going to talk about is the quarterly performance summary and the contribution recommendation. If you recall that we have an extra $10 million contribution in the fiscal 19 budget. So performance summary, you can see where the pension fund earned 1.25%, a one-year return of 7.9%. You can see that the market value at the end of the quarter was $94.8 million. It's important to note with the pension fund that we have decreased our management fees. We have done a lot more indexing versus active managers. So it went from 0.52% to 0.33%, saving us $180,000 per year in management fees. Moving on to the OPEB, which is the benefits fund, you can see there the market value at $43 million, a second quarter return of 1.1%, and a one-year return of 7.1%. So this here to note is that all of our active managers outperform their benchmarks. We did have a little bit, we didn't get as much return here as we did in the pension fund because we have more of a value tilt. We have more value stocks versus growth stocks that did not see such an increase in this quarter. But overall, both pension funds performed above average when you compare it to the 200 and some peers that we are matched up with. The second item is to talk about where we're going to put the $10 million that we have in the fiscal year 19 budget. And because our funds are performing so well right now, the pension committee is recommending just allocating that based off of the investment policy statement that you have approved. So we just take those percentages all the way on the right, and then we apply that to the $10 million that you can see in the red box. And then that's how it gets allocated. So there's no new managers, there's no new allocation percentages. I have a motion for your consideration.
Please read your motion, ma'am.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council, based on the recommendation of the Pension Committee and Marquette Associates, directs the Finance Director to deposit the additional $10 million contribution to the pension fund based on the current investment policy statement.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions on the motion?
I'm starting to be worried about a pension.
As well you should. We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
All those who yes, motion carried. Protect Mr. Cole's investments here.
All us pensioners.
It's important. Old business. Old business. Ms. Cornwell, come back up and join us, please.
Do you not think about our pension this year?
No, I don't think so.
So the first item under old business is conditional use number 2129, filed on behalf of Brian Lassard Builders, Inc. I believe there's information from Mr. Moore regarding this application.
Yes, thank you, Ms. Cornwell. And subsequent to the hearing, I know Mr. Burton had asked that this be put on the agenda, and when he was studying it, he was questioning some issues concerning setbacks and other issues from surrounding property owners. And when we started to inquire, there had been, this is a very unique circumstance where there was a public hearing before planning and zoning. They did not make a decision. We had our public hearing. The record was closed. Then the planning and zoning made some recommendations, and there was some landowner agreements. People got together at the recommendation, planning and zoning came up with an agreement for that, but that's not all reflected in the decision. And Mr. Burton, in looking at this, was questioning some of the things. Obviously, we can't get into the issue of the landowner agreement and the discussions because that came after our record was closed, unfortunately. So what Mr. Fuquay, on behalf of his client, has requested, if we could open the record for a very specific and limited purpose of having us consider a substitute condition J and introduction of the information concerning the landowner discussions that took place and agreement that took place at the behest of the Planning and Zoning Commission that we don't have the benefit of. Normally, this would be something that we don't like to reopen, but in this case, because it's such a unique circumstance, I think it would be appropriate and have it reopened simply for that limited purpose and for it to be re-advertised, put on the agenda only for that. Does not need to go back through planning and zoning, but just come here to County Council so we get the benefit of that in the record for the vote. So it would need a motion to do that.
So moved.
Second. Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Burton. Any questions on the motion?
Yes, reopening it, this one issue, going to re-advertise the one issue, allowing for public comment on that one issue, is that correct?
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
And then we will come back and make a decision.
Yes. What we would do, Mr. Fuquay would make the presentation. Any member of the public that heard that presentation and saw that could comment on that limited purpose only. And then afterwards, we'd close the public hearing and record and vote.
Okay.
Any more questions?
So we're advertising.
Yeah. Take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
Yes, per recommendation.
Burton. Oh, come on.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Next.
The next application is a conditional use that was 2130, filed on behalf of the Evergreen Companies LLC, also known as Pallet's Corner. At your last meeting, the council asked staff to go back and review the developments that have been approved in the last several years regarding the density. We did do that. We actually ended up going back 10 years because there have only been three developments that have been approved as part of a conditional use or another process in that area in the last 3 years. And those would have been Salt Air, which was approved as a GR conditional use. Again, it was zoned already GR with a density of 4.6. Oceanside Vista, which is the RPC, and then the conditional use, and then the conditional use came back after it expired with an overall density of 2.6, which is already, again, zoned MR, and then Sunset Harbor, which was already zoned GR, and that was converted from a mobile home park to the development that it is now has a density of 6, and those are the only three developments that we could find that were approved by the council in the last 10 years.
So we've got a 6, a 4.6, a 2.6.
And again, those are just the recent ones. There are definitely other developments that have been approved at higher densities.
Well, one of Sunset Harbor was more than 5 years.
She said 10.
I said 10.
Well, no, you asked for 5. When you did ask, you charged her with 5 years to go back. So to make the point, in the last 5 years, we have not done, except for, I guess, Ocean or Salt Air got a little over 4, but then right across the street, Oceanside is 2.6.
And that was what it was approved. Everything else, again, there are a number that were previously approved at different densities, and then the commercial that could go up to 12 units.
And Sunset Harbor was an old manufactured housing community, park, whatever you want to call it, and they had already had recorded little lots in there. And what this was actually a reduction. Am I not correct?
Yes, it was.
From the original manufacturing park, which was grandfathered in, been there forever, way before 74. So the 6 point, I mean, it was just jammed in there like whatever you want to call it. But anyway, so that was pretty much a permitted use. They got a reduction from what they had, but that was they were permitted for even higher than that, right?
The original mobile home park, again, was considered legal nonconforming as it existed prior to. And again, in the GR, as part of a conditional use, applicants can ask for up to 12.
Anyway, the point I was trying to make, Mr. President, was in that area, we have approved, if you look down there at Oceanside, Vista, and Salt Air, just that combination, neither one of those are constructed at all, no improvements are being made now to Salt Air, and the improvements on Oceanside Vista have just kind of, they're not worth calling improvements, but they made some improvements years ago, and it's all overgrown, and I don't think any of it, the permits are in effect anymore. So we have 100. Oceanside Vista has how many units? Do you remember?
Around
75. Salt Air has, what, about 19?
They were closer to
19?
I think they were around 20. So, yeah, around 19. I don't have it off the top of my head, but there were.
No, it's not 19. Okay, so there's 100 units not even built on Cedar Neck Road. And if you look again, the 4.6 is a little over 4, but what the request was, what, 8 point something for this corner, and there's not been much in the way of increasing.